Good evening and welcome.
Good evening.
Glad to see everyone here and welcome everyone on Zoom. Trust you had a great week and stay cool, which was a challenge for most of the week. For a day or two, the challenge was to stay dry, which is a nice problem to have. Instead, 2.25 inches of rain out of this game. Saturday morning. So we're thankful for the rain. Well, let's pray, let's sing, let's worship. Father in heaven, we're so happy to be together tonight in worshiping you. You are so worthy of our praise and our adoration. You just do so many things for our good. Best thing you ever did was send us Jesus. We're so grateful. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you accomplished on our behalf, for paying the price for our sins, for dying, for rising again, giving us the promise of resurrection and eternal life with you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. We thank you that you are always present in our lives, and we just desire to be very aware of your presence tonight. So just let your glory shine. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing. Amen. It's never failing yet. There's no reason to think he's going to start now. So, I think Jeremy was reading my sermon notes and chose the Psalms. Or else I was reading his Psalms and I chose my sermon notes. One or the other. Seems that there might be some might be some connection there somehow that's beyond us. Who has a testimony you'd like to share with us today? Jeff?
So, me and Mel are celebrating our 12th anniversary today.
All right. Didn't hear that. Jeff and Janelle are celebrating their 12th wedding anniversary today. Key word there is celebrate. That's good. You know you're not nearly dead. That's good. All right. Who else? Okay. And let's pray on the offertory prayer. As we receive today's offering, we believe you, Lord, for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Lydia, you want to pass the basket today? All right. It ain't over yet. Good message. Anyone interested in the children's story? Let's sit on this side over here because I have a video as part of the story tonight.
Video,
is that all right?
I'm right in front of it. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Tonight, my sermon is about Psalm 40. And one of the verses in Psalm 40 says, "Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the wonders, the mighty works, the wonderful things, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you, right? To speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to tell." Okay? So think about the things that God did for you that were special and that showed you how much he loves you. And I'll give you time to think about it. In fact, I might not even ask you to say it tonight. But that's something for you to think about. And when you remember some things like that, tell God how thankful you are that he did it. Okay. Back in 1990. Yeah, do you remember 1990?
Oh, yeah. Yeah?
Okay. It's like it was yesterday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I saw a mother of yours raise her hand. Yeah, I remember. And I saw a grandmother of yours raise her hand. Yeah, I remember.
Hi. Hello.
And another mother of yours remembers it, and an aunt of yours remembers it, if she does. In 1990, I was living in Heston, Kansas with my family. And I was going to school to prepare for the ministry. And while we were there, something happened. What? What happened? A tornado came through our town.
Of course
it did. Yes, it did. And it wasn't just any old tornado. It was the biggest tornado that had ever been measured in that area of the country up until that time.
Oh, my. Of course
it was. It was a Category 5. And it's a scale of, it's on a scale of one being the smallest, and the very biggest one is a 5.
Oh, no.
So this was huge. It was between 261 and 318 mile per hour winds going in a circle. That's what a tornado does, okay? Goes in a circle. And whatever gets in its way just gets twisted and twisted. And that's why they call them twisters.
And then,
as well as tornado. 226 homes and 21 businesses were damaged or destroyed in the western section of town. And about 90 homes were destroyed beyond repair, and 30 were totally destroyed. Okay, I remember that day very well. And we lived in a house that had a basement. And in the basement was an office that I studied in, and it was soundproofed. So when I closed the door, I couldn't hear what was going on in the house, which was nice for studying. Well, when you get a warning that a tornado is coming to town, you're supposed to go to the basement. So we went to the basement, and at that time, it was Pansy and me and all 5 of our children were living in that. And we went to my office, and we took blankets and pillows and covered ourselves up and sat and waited for the tornado. And we're told that when a tornado goes by, it sounds like a freight train. It's so loud. We heard it, but it didn't sound like a freight train to us. because of the soundproof room. It sounded like a giant vacuum cleaner, just sucking everything up in its path. Now, Heston was about 1 mile wide, and the storm was going 30 miles an hour across the ground. So from the time it hit the edge of town until it got through town was about 2 minutes. And I remember before the storm, when we knew it was coming, I kept wanting to find excuses to go upstairs and get a peek at it. I'd never seen a tornado, and I wanted to see this tornado. And so I remembered stuff that I thought I should get that was upstairs, like my checkbook, because what if the bank was destroyed and they didn't know how much money I had in my account? At least I could show them, right? So I went upstairs to get my checkbook and couldn't see the tornado, so I went back downstairs. I don't remember if I went up for anything else or not, but I remember doing that. And then we were sitting there, and we wondered when it was going to come or if it was going to come. And then two things happened at the same time. One, we heard that giant vacuum cleaner. And we heard it get louder and then get softer. That's as it came closer and as it went away. Okay? And at that same time, we felt the atmospheric pressure drop. Right now, you don't understand that because the pressure around us is always constant. But if all the air was sucked out of the room, it would feel like you're being pulled apart. Not in a hurtful way, just you feel that there was pressure happening. How, can you explain it better?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we felt a little bit lighter than we had too because we were being kind of pulled up, maybe.
Kind of
like because the tornado was sucking things up. Okay, so that's what happened, and it was 2 minutes, and I thought, oh, no big deal, it's gone. Well, then I went upstairs to see what had happened. And I have a video to show you some of the things that happened. And after the video, we'll talk about some more things that happened.
Huh?
What?
There's
someone.
That's the actual tornado. That's how big it was.
Wow. Like, how is that? I can say, like, Mom, you saw that? I hear thunder.
No, we didn't see it. We were in the house.
That's like thunder. That's like thunder. So that's scary.
That's going through the town, and the stuff you see at the bottom that's coming up is buildings and trees, cars.
It is? You're so close around it.
This is actually somebody's home video from their camcorder.
Wow. That's
was that pieces of stuff? You see yeah. That tree? Is it good for
the
yeah, they've got
seats.
I hear a tree.
How high in the air.
Yeah, look at all the
some
stuff.
Some of those are sheets of plywood from the
I see stuff floating around.
Yeah. The walls yeah. Of the house.
Oh my word.
Yeah, man, these are so, like, the biggest
ones. Yeah, that's, like, number five. Oh. That
must be, like,
scary.
Wow. Well, I have to jump into a canoe. I want to, like, have to check to see.
You can do it. Now I have another video that I want you to see that is taken the day afterwards showing you some of the damage.
Oh.
So this one's not going to be.
Where did you find these? Were they on YouTube?
Yeah, they're on YouTube.
Is this a real story? Did this actually happen?
Yeah.
Nothing here.
How many people were killed in that storm?
Amy.
Zero.
Yay!
Yay! I thought 130.
What I remember, if I got it right, is one person got a broken leg in Pasco. Another person might have had a heart attack. But I don't. Nobody died.
Good.
From that. Now, what I want to tell you about is how God protected people. This is God's mighty actions in this situation. In the news, weather report after the tornado, they told how the tornado was in an open field about a quarter mile outside of Heston. And they said that there was a microburst of energy at the top edge of the storm that shifted the storm north about two blocks. Because the storm was shifted north by two blocks, it missed the college, where college students were standing in front of plate glass windows watching the storm come. And so, you know, there likely would have been deaths from that. It missed the nursing home where older people lived and had no way of getting out of the way of it. And it missed the trailer park where people lived in trailers. Now, if a tornado goes through a trailer park, there's nothing left. There's
they don't
nothing
have basements.
What?
Trailers don't have basements.
Trailers don't have basements, so there's no place for those people to go
under the trailer,
unless they were able to drive away. And it happened about 5:30 in the evening, if I remember correctly, because we were fixing our supper, and we weren't able to finish it because the electric went off when the tornado came. So we ate cold sandwiches that night. We're happy to have them. But what I wanted you to know from that is how God was faithful in sparing people's lives. Oh, I mentioned the Pizza Hut. You guys said about the Pizza Hut. I said I'd tell you about the Pizza Hut. The Pizza Hut was about 2.5 blocks north of our house. And when I went outside after the tornado, our house had very, very little damage. Our neighbors behind us had a bit more damage. But then beyond that, there was a lot of damage. And the Pizza Hut had like two walls of it taken out, and the roof came down on top of what was left of the Pizza Hut. And if it was 5:30, you know there were people in there getting pizzas and having supper. And so I looked at that, I saw that, and I thought, wow, people couldn't have lived through that.
Did you see green sky?
But remember, I said nobody died in Heston from the tornado. The people that were in the Pizza Hut got inside the walk-in refrigerator and closed the door. And when the roof came down, that refrigerator stood sturdy and didn't collapse. And they all were fine and lived through the tornado because of that.
Were they cold after?
Now, what I believe, now this was in March, so no, it wasn't cold, it was spring. What I believe that microburst of energy in the corner of that store was, I believe that was an angel that pushed that storm north and saved many, many lives because they weren't hurt. Now, we had friends, students that were classmates of mine, that their house, there were a couple of them. One of them, their house now consisted of the basement, which was open air. It was not even, the floor of the house was gone. Everything was gone. Another student that had classes with, their house was destroyed. The main floor of their house was now the roof of their house and the basement underneath it. another student that I went to class with lived in a two-story apartment building, and their bedroom was on the second floor. The roof and the rafters were taken off of the house, so now their bedroom was open air. And their dresser drawers were full of blown-in insulation, so that their clothes were ruined because now they were all scratchy and itchy and couldn't wash them, get that out. But on top of their dresser, there were three $20 bills laying one on top of the other with nothing on top of them, and they were still there after the tornado, untouched. And a business that was damaged severely. A check of theirs was found in a town 90 miles away. So tornadoes are interesting. They're crazy. They do different things. But I can tell you many, many, many stories about that tornado, and I'm sure those of my family that are here tonight and went through it and remember it could tell you their own stories too. And it'd be fun to hear. So maybe after church, they'll tell you tornado stories, or maybe at home tonight, you can ask them. But what I want you to know is God's never failed us yet. And he's protected us. And he protected every life in Heston, not just ours. And we can be thankful that we serve a God who does that. And when he does things like that, we should brag on him. We should tell people how wonderful our God is, and how he provided, and how he protected, and how wonderful he is. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your awesome, awesome might and love and grace and mercy and kindness and the wonderful things you do to keep us safe and to provide for us. Father, I pray that these children would learn to know you as their friend, as their father, as their provider, as their protector, as one they can trust with their whole lives, and to live for you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Maybe how 30 years later you can go back to a moment.
Yeah, it is. It is. Carlo just said it's amazing how 30 years later you can go back to a moment. And that's so true. There are, you know, I can't tell you a thing about what happened the day before the tornado. I can tell you things that happened the day of the tornado and some after the tornado. And I'm sure that as we all think of our lives, we can probably find similar events that we can talk about and that we can have experiences of God's faithfulness in. At least I trust that's your story, too. I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 40. This is a pretty exciting psalm, I think. And it's another psalm of David that he wrote. And I just want to share some thoughts about it, and hopefully we can find some good things to apply to our lives today because of it. Look at this. I actually have notes tonight. Okay. Somebody said, oh dear, this could be. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Hallelujah, that David waited patiently for the Lord and the Lord heard his cry. You know, God does hear our cry and God does respond to our cry. But what we consider an emergency isn't necessarily an emergency to God. And what we think is a quick response, it doesn't affect God in his response at all. He responds in due time, in his time. And we need to wait patiently, which is what David did. He cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard him. When the Lord hears our cry, he responds. And he responds with compassion, with mercy, and with grace. You know, it's easy to hear somebody's cry, and here they are. David was in a slimy pit. He was in mud and mire by his description. So he was in a bad place. He was in a fix. He'd gotten himself into some messy situation. And we see people in messy situations, and we hear their cry for help. And too often, I won't say we, but you can put yourself in here if you see yourself there too. I might say, well, you got yourself in that mess. Good luck getting yourself out. And God could do that. You know, where would we be if we cried to the Lord and he heard, and then he looked at us and he said, oh, yeah, that's your own mess. You made that mire and mud. You got into that slimy pit. I told you not to go there. You went anyway. Good luck. That's not our God. And we can be so grateful that it's not. Because we can't pull ourselves out of the miry pits and the slime that we get ourselves into. Because there's no remedy for sin on my part. There's no remedy that I can do to cover my sin or to get out of the pickle that I'm in. I'm dependent on God to lift me out of that slimy pit of sin, out of that mud and mire that I'm in, and to set my feet on a rock. Wow. That's what God did for us through Jesus. He did it for David before Jesus. So you know he does it for us with Jesus. He put a new song in my mouth. Yeah. You have that experience. And your tune is going to change. You know, so many of us are in that miry pit. It may not be us, but so many people. Sometimes it's probably us. Oh, Father. No birthday cake. No candles. No balloons. Nobody singing happy birthday to me. Oh, Father. That becomes our song. That becomes our tune. But then God pulls us out of that miry pit. He sets us on a solid rock. He cleans us up. He gives us a new life. And then our song changes. Oh, what a wonderful day. I've got a wonderful feeling. Everything's going my way. And, you know, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. We're coming to that. But this is what God does. He puts that that new song in our lives. And there are so many verses in Psalms that talk about singing the new song. And you might want to do a search of that. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of his faithful people. Sing to him a new song, play skillfully, and shout for joy. He put a new song in my mouth. This is the one we just read. Okay, here we go. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. In Revelation, we read, they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. In Revelation 14, they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. It's the song of the redeemed. And we can sing it as we know Jesus as our Savior. That makes us part of that 144,000, because that 144,000 is also described as a multitude that no one could count, from every tribe and every language and every nation and every tongue. And if you want to hear that sermon, I'm happy to preach it sometime. Revelation 15, they sang the song of God's servant Moses and of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. That refers to the song of Moses, which happened after they crossed the Red Sea. And remember, the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they followed God, and he took them to the edge of the Red Sea for what they thought was a vacation. They were going to the beach after living for 400 years as slaves. And so there they were on the beach enjoying the sun and the surf and the sand. And they look up, and here comes Pharaoh's army. And now they're between the devil and the deep blue sea. And they've got no place to run, because they can't overcome the army, and they don't have any boats to float across the sea. So God delivers them. Moses stretches out his rod. God blows a wind all night, and the sea parts, and Israel walks through the next day on dry ground. Pharaoh's army says, ha, we'll go after him. And so they did, and they get halfway through to the middle, and Moses stretches out his rod again, and the sea comes crashing down, and the Egyptian army is destroyed. And then we have Moses and the Israelites, pardon me, sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is a name. And he goes on and on about God's mighty acts on their behalf. I think it's interesting to see, as this song goes on, he says, the nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away in terror and dread that will fall on them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as stone until your people pass by, Lord. Until the people you bought pass by, you will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, Lord, your hands established. The Lord reigns forever and ever. If only that had continued to be Israel. Song. But 6 weeks later, by the time they got to the edge of Canaan and they sent spies into the land, The spies came back singing a different tune. They came back saying there's giants in the land and we look like grasshoppers before them. Yes, 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 there's flowing with milk and honey and they've got grapes the size of basketballs. But there's giants in the land. And how quickly they forgot what God had done for them. And the song of faith that rose up in them when they saw God work. But that they so soon forgot because it looked tough. We need to sing that song of faith. We need to continue to sing it. We need to walk in it every day of our lives. Know that the enemy is defeated. Jesus defeated him on the cross. He's done. You can ask, when is the chicken most alive? With its head on or his head off? That's Satan. His head's off, but he's still flopping around. But we need to see him as the defeated foe that he is and know that the victory is ours. He's pulled us out of this slimy pit. He set our feet on a rock. We can stand on that rock, Jesus. And nothing will shake it. Nothing will shake it. No weapon formed against us will stand. You know, think about it. The weapon they formed against Jesus was the cross. And it took his life. For a moment. But it didn't stand. Jesus had the final say. We sang about it tonight. 3 days later, the lion roared. I love it. And as I read Revelation, the roar of the lion was really the bleat of a lamb. And that's all it took. Oh, boy. God's pinky does more than the might of all the nations and the might of Satan. You know, it's never a challenge for God to defeat Satan and put him in his place. The difference between God and Satan, when Satan comes against God, is like an ant coming against a steamroller and saying, "You want to fight?" I mean, it's no contest. It's nothing close. Our God reigns. Our God's supreme. Our God's in control. We can trust him. We can walk with him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside the false idols. And that's us. We're blessed as we trust in the Lord. We don't need to listen to what pagans say. We don't need to take our cues from the world on how to react and how to live and how to relate. We take our instructions from the Lord Jesus and how he lived his life. And that's how we live our lives. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. And I shared with the children the Heston tornado story and how God, I firmly believe that God shifted that tornado north to save lives. There was also a factory that would have been destroyed and many jobs would have been lost for an extended period of time till it was rebuilt. Because without that shifting north. And, you know, there's so many things that God does to protect us and to provide for us. And too often, I think we pass it off as what? Coincidence? As good fortune? As it's the way it worked out. But it's God. He's who works on our behalf. He brings good things in our life. Every good and perfect gift is from above. The Father of lights. We can be thankful for that. We can give him credit for that. We can praise him and thank him. None can compare with you where I speak of your deeds. Okay, maybe it would be 2 minutes to clear. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. On one level, that describes Jesus very well. But I believe on another level, it could be you and me. Because that's the position we want to have. Here I am, Lord. I'm coming to you. You didn't want animals. You didn't want oil. You didn't want all these other sacrifice things. You wanted me. And here I am. I'm yours. And I desire to do your will, my God. Your will be done. Jesus didn't pray, my will be done. Pray, your will be done. Where? On earth. How? Just like in heaven. How many times in heaven do you think the angels say, you know, they get a direction from God and they say, oh, I'll let you know, I'll think about it. Or, well, yeah, okay, I'll do it, but I want to do it my way. No, that's not how it goes in heaven. God says, angels do. On earth, as it is in heaven, God says, we do. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. Do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I won't make any comments about how that relates to our sharing time. I'll just keep that thought to myself. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. I let people know how good you are, God. I can't keep it within me. I'm so full of joy at how you treat me, how you relate to me, and how kind and how good, how merciful and how generous you are with me. I just can't control myself. I have to tell people. I have to tell people how awesome my God is. I hope that's your testimony tonight. And if it's not, seek the Lord and ask him, what am I missing, Lord? Why did he give me the bashful gene? Give me more of your spirit. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. You'll receive power to be my witnesses. The ability to speak. That's what a witness is. It's one that tells what they've seen and what they've experienced. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. That's a good prayer. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. It will. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Certainly that has described our lives at some point. I hope that as we grow in Christ and as we walk with him in maturity and as we grow, we experience that less and less. Yes, we mess up. Yes, we sin. But I hope that's not all we do. And I hope we don't. I hope we keep our accounts current so that our sins are forgiven and they're washed away, and then it's like they didn't happen. And we can walk in boldness and purity and uprightness before God and not have to live in shame, because there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus who live and do according to his will. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. You know, I have to think there's a difference here between Old Testament and New Testament. You know, David didn't have a Savior who died in his place yet. One was coming. He was looking forward to that promise. David didn't have the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life indwelling him constantly. Pardon me, as we do. And so he lived with a different understanding, with a different experience. But too often I think this might represent me. Too often I don't keep my accounts current. Too often I get myself in a pickle, in a jam, in a miry pit. I need him to come quickly. And it's okay to ask the Lord to come quickly and to deliver us. David goes on, may all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire to ruin be turned, excuse me, may all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. We may have people that are difficult for us. We may have people that wish us ill. I don't have a lot of that in my experience, thankfully. But we do have an enemy in Satan, and that's his sole purpose. And it's okay to pray. May Satan's ways be thwarted against me. Would you turn all of his curses into blessings for me? And restore me. Restore the joy of my salvation. Because we have an enemy of our soul that does wish us harm, that does want to destroy us, that is out for our detriment. We have a God who is mighty to save. He's ready, and he's willing, and he's able. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. Do you long for the Lord's saving help? Do you long for the Lord's saving help?
Yes.
Oh, I guess it comes through better if I let it bounce off the wall. Well, then let's hear it. The Lord is great.
The Lord is great.
The Lord is great.
The Lord is great.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. We can't walk around being Eeyore like I started out giving you an example of, although bothered, if we're experiencing God's saving grace. Yeah, things might be bleak. Yeah, I might have concerns, and I may have worries in this life. But God is still on the throne, and God has my best at heart. And God's going to see me through it. And he's going to give me victory. And I believe he'll come quickly. I don't promise it'll feel quickly to you. And so we can say, the Lord is great. And we. But as for me, David speaking here, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. How do we see ourselves? Blessed are the meek. God exalts the humble. And he puts down the proud. I see an humble man here in me. He sees himself as poor and needy, even with all he had. Man after God's own heart. He is still poor and needy. I need the Lord. When I think I don't, I'm in trouble. Because there's no more arrogant statement than, I don't need you, Lord. Now, if you want God to be against you, go ahead and have that attitude. If you want God to be for you, oh Lord, I'm desperate for you. More, Lord. I need more of you, Lord. The more I know you, the more I need. The more of you I experience, the more desperate I am for more of you. Because I know how good you are. And I know how desperately I need you. So you, Lord, are my help. You're my deliverer. I can't handle it myself. I'm desperate for you. You're my God. Do not delay. Come quickly. Come quickly, Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming quickly. Thank you for coming completely. Thank you for paying the price for my sin completely. Thank you for restoring me into right relationship with the Father completely. But oh Lord, I'm so desperate for more of you. I'm so desperate for you to continue to keep me in that right relationship. To keep me walking in the way of truth, in the way of righteousness, in the way of right relationships, in the way of obedience to our Father. Come, Holy Spirit. Do your awesome work in my life, in my heart, in each of our lives, in each of our hearts. Give us that new song. The one that wells up within our soul because of the joy unspeakable that we're experiencing walking with you, experiencing your provision, your protection, your deliverance, your kindness, your mercy, your goodness. Ah, oh, you're so awesome. What an awesome God we serve. Keep coming, Holy Spirit, I pray in the awesome name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight, and God bless you with an awesome week.
You too.